Aloha and welcome back to another game preview edition of the Ohana Packers Edition podcast. Podcast where two dudes from halfway across the world talk everything green and gold. I'm Mike and that's Iowa Joe. Joe, the Packers are looking to extend their win streak as they head into Monday Night Football in the Meadowlands against the Giants. How are you looking this matchup for the Packers this week?
On paper, after taking down the defending Super Bowl champs, you would think that this would be a cakewalk. But it was pointed out earlier by a couple people. I think I also heard it on Lombardi's Bar. The Packers tend to play down to, they play to their competition. So if it's good competition, they play up. If it's bad competition, they play down. I'm not overly scared of Tommy DeVito. Now Saquon a little bit, and I'm not really overly concerned with their wide receivers either. So I don't know. I just, like I said, on paper, you would think that this would be a cakewalk. It should be, an easy win, but like it's always been said, it's every given Sunday. Who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, on paper, simulations, whatever you want to call it, this game should be pretty nice walk in the park for the Packers. But this has all the hallmarkings of a trap game for Green Bay, where Green Bay is coming off of really back-to-back weeks against what should have been superior opponents that they've come out with big season-defining wins in. The Giants, meanwhile, are at the bottom of the league in a lot of categories. They're coming off their bye, and it's a road game for the Packers. So how do all of those factors, this is like we said all year, this is a season of learning and growth for this young Packers team. And this is a good test for them, honestly, is to come off of those emotional, mental highs of coming off, getting back to 500, scraping, clawing your way to playoff contention and controlling your own playoff destiny and seeing what they're going to do with it in this this setting. So big test for the Packers. I know people are going to say, like, yep. But hey, when you're being expected to win a game for the first time in, months at this point, that's a big hurdle for a young team, so it'll be really fun to see how they come out on Monday night. Little housekeeping for the Packers. They have not practiced as of when we're recording this on Wednesday night. So no updates on injuries yet at this time, but they did sign some players, make some roster moves. So cornerback David Long from Michigan, he was added to the active roster, signed off of waivers from the Raiders.
former third round pick, I think, for the Rams, wasn't he?
Yep. So he was there. He was on the Super Bowl winning team a couple years ago. He was a good, he's not the biggest guy. He's actually measures up kind of similarly to two guys on the roster in Jair and Corey Ballantyne. He is a similar athlete to both. You go by RAS cards, he's actually much more like Ballantyne, but he did test out similarly to Jair in terms of length, arm length, height. He's like 0.07 of a second slower than Jair, but he's a little more explosive and a little bit quicker in the agilities too, I think, actually. So another potential project player. Always good to have more bodies in the cornerback room. And then the one that I'm kind of excited about is a guy that I've liked since he was in college. James Robinson, released from the practice squad, and Kenyon Drake from Alabama and like five different NFL teams has been added to the practice squad. That one was fun because Drake broke the news himself via his Twitter and Instagram accounts. So, but kind of interesting to see, they gave Robinson some handoffs in the Sunday night game. I don't put it too much on him. There wasn't much room for him, but I think looking to get a little bit of a different looking back. Drake is more of a third down change of pace kind of back. But yeah, your impressions, Joe.
Well, no, I was just going to say we kind of talked about this on the review after the win, that everybody seems to be writing James Robinson like, oh, well, he looked horrible. He looked terrible. And it's like, how can you judge it? There was nothing you could judge it off of because he had two carries and one catch. And you can't judge anything off of that. Like you said, there was no, it wasn't all on him. You know, there was the blocking missed. The defense, you know, played well against it. So there was nothing he could do. But, you know, I obviously he was just going to be a relief type guy because, you know, AJ got the bulk of the carries. But yeah, Kenyon Drake, you know, he's got ability still. He is getting up a little bit older side a little bit. But I also have to think that this doesn't bode well for Aaron Jones at the moment, because Kenyon is kind of like an Aaron Jones type back. So it makes me wonder if this is not looking where he's going to be back for the Giants game, or maybe if he does come back, it's on like a really limited basis until they get the full, you know, readout on how he's doing. So I think the big play everybody remembers is Kenyon was the one that caught the, or had the touchdown in the Dolphins versus Patriots game on that hook and ladder type deal. So, you know, it's a big signing. In a way, I see too many people trying to compare this to the 2010 Super Bowl year where, oh, well, you know, this is kind of like the Howard Green signing or the Eric Walden signing. It's like, no, come on, guys, calm down a little bit. You know, to be honest, he's probably not going to get any play time. If he does, it's going to be very limited this coming week. And, you know, outside of that, he's going to get limited rotation anyway, unless there's a major injury somewhere.
No, so that's the way I look at it too, is that if he plays, something has gone catastrophically wrong at this point. I just think, I agree with you. I think more than anything, it's they're looking for a different kind of back than what Robinson brought to the table at this point. They're looking, you know, more for guys who hypothetically could factor into the pass game. Yeah, I don't know how to read into terms of what this means for Jones or not. I wonder if releasing Robinson means that Dylan came out healthier than they expected him to, you know, because Robinson always was more like kind of the same kind of back that Dylan was anyway. You know, they're more like strong runner types than like get out in the pass game kind. So it'll be interesting to see. But honestly, he's got to learn the playbook. I know he played for McDaniel, but I don't know how long that, or I don't know actually if he did or not. But
I don't think he played there.
No, yeah. No, he was with the Ravens last year. So yeah, no, even yeah, more so. So yeah, it's going to take him time to get acclimated. So yeah, so I, like I said, I think this is just like a stir the bottom of the roster kind of thing. I wouldn't look too much into it.
Well, it's a security blanket, you know. Yeah. Like I said, I think this doesn't bode well for maybe Aaron Jones playing Monday. This, you know, they'll bring Kenyon up for one of his call-ups just to have him on roster in case something happens. I also would assume that this means that they're a little bit more comfortable with Ellis.
Merriweather.
Merriweather. I was going to say Merriweather, but for some reason it didn't seem right. So, because we haven't seen anything out of him yet, but I really think this, both Kenyon, well, honestly, I can't say. I don't know what Ellis is. What do you know about Ellis Merriweather? Is he like a scat back type? Is he a thumper?
Little more of like a, kind of like what we were expecting to get out of, our draft pick. Shoot, I'm blanking on his name.
Oh, Lou Nichols.
Lou Nichols, yeah. Kind of that kind of runner. So more like that. Not like a speed or athletic kind. I think he tested kind of similarly to Wilson, actually. So, yeah, more along the lines of those two guys than, like, a true, like, just flyer kind of athlete. So, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember Merriweather. I know he spent time with the Saints, but that's about it. But it's kind of surprising we haven't seen anything out of him, considering he's been on the practice squad for a little bit longer than a guy like James Robinson or even, like, Kenyon Drake. But I don't know. I'm hoping that my biggest fear right now is I have a feeling AJ is going to drop off. because right now he's playing above what he had been playing before. So I just have this feeling that whether it's this next game or another game coming up, he's going to fall off. So we need something there in case that happens.
Yeah, never can have too many bodies. And like we've said before, that's something that Gut has done a really good job of, just churning the bottom of the roster to make sure that, you know, they're just constantly bringing in new bodies. Like, you're not expecting to necessarily find diamonds in the rough, but if you find functional bodies off the street, that's all you can ask for with, you know, those practice squad spots. And then if they need to be called up to be those, like, spots 42 to 53 on the active roster kind of things. So, figure that Long probably... I wonder if this means that Robert Rochelle is a little bit more dinged up, because they probably are bringing Long in. Because I know Rochelle missed the last game and he was missing practice last week. So could be kind of a fill-in situation like that as well. So we'll see what the practice report means to hold for us this week. We'll get to one of the Giants' big ones because they're coming off their bye. They did have a practice already. But we'll get into that when we get into the defense. But the New York Giants are on the docket for the Packers, the 32nd ranked team in DVOA this season, 31st in offense, 26th in defense, and 23rd on special teams. Like we said, they are coming off their bye. Dable is a, you know, he not so much right now because his team is struggling, but Dable, you know, at least a couple years ago, right before he got hired and when he got hired by the Giants, he was regarded as one of the brightest offensive minds in the NFL. So you guarantee he's like throwing some things together. It remains
but right
to be
now
seen,
the
though.
Giants are kind of like a black hole, like the Browns are right now, where yeah. It doesn't matter how the coach is beforehand. Once he gets into the system, it just kind of like disappears. They really haven't had a solid coach out there since maybe Coughlin. And even Coughlin towards the end was
old man screaming at a cloud a little bit.
Yeah, pretty much. So I know it's everything's kind of going against Dable, but I don't know.
This is one of those where from the outside looking in, you kind of question, like, is there going to be an organization against the coach kind of thing? Or is Dable being given a clean slate because, you know, Jones isn't necessarily his quarterback kind of thing and stuff. And it's not necessarily his fault that, you know, the offense tanked or anything like that because of the injuries and stuff. So remains to be seen, you know.
The defensive coordinator get into it not too long ago, too.
Yeah.
Like guideline. Yeah. So the whole thing is getting.
It's like I said, that kind of you go the tinfoil hat route and it's like, oh, does Dable have marching orders that, like, it's okay if the team doesn't do well and Martindale is a defensive coordinator is like, well, screw that. Like, I still don't want to just suck kind of thing and all. But who knows? You know, like, we're going to see what this team – I expect the Giants to come out, you know, with some fight, some vim, and some vigor to start the game. And that's why I think it's big for the Packers to – more on offense because I'm not putting the cart before the horse on Barry to play a shutdown series or anything like that. But you want to kind of like douse the flames early as much as you can on either side of the ball. Cause,
well,
this,
if they
like you said,
keep
this
going,
is a team.
Yeah. If the offense can keep going like they have been the last few weeks, where they just, you know, go out on with like their pants are on fire, then and score points early, then and you have to put it on the Giants offense to come back, then of course it's going to be a cakewalk. But LaFleur is going to have to not play down to the competition. He's going to have to go out there and live by his all fucking gas, no brakes, or all gas, no fucking brakes, or however he put it. And just not give let up.
Yeah, no, that's going to be the key to the game. But sticking with the Giants offense, this is a rough offense right now. Like I said, fueled partly because Daniel Jones is down for the season with an ACL. But even before, they weren't a great unit. But they are dead last in yardage per game. They're only scoring 13 points per game. I'm not sure who they're ahead of, but they're actually only 31st in that regard. The ones to keep an eye on, I don't expect them to pass. They're the last passing offense in the league at just over 150 yards. The one to keep an eye on, like you kind of noted already, so they're rushing for 107 rush yards per game, 18th in the league. And Saquon is, you know, he's on pace to have 1,000 yards, but it's not a special season in any way, really. He's only averaging a little over 4 yards a carry, only has one touchdown. And like you said, that's how you get bogged down in this game, is if Barry is afraid of a bad quarterback, which Tommy DeVito is. You know, I don't even want to say he's a quadruple A quarterback to go in baseball terms, but I think you and I said this is kind of redux of the Atlanta game, honestly. And it's like, and this one's even worse because they don't have a Kyle Pitts or a Mike London or any of the skill position players that are on the Falcons. It's basically Saquon and the highway. You know, they have the husk of Darren Waller. I think he's fine, but without a quarterback to throw him the ball, he's kind of useless out there. And then their leading receiver is Darius Slayton, who has 435 receiving yards. So,
well, yeah, the only one that I would worry about there in the receiving core is the rookie Hyatt, because of his ability, you know, not because he's been producing, but just because of his stretch the field type ability.
And that's what makes me worry with Barry, is that he's going to see, oh, that's a guy who runs a legit 4.3. A low 4.3 40, so I'm not gonna get beat over the top. And it's like, you're gonna let, you know, as many plays as the Packers defense has made the last 2 weeks, they've been shredded on the ground. They've given up 300 yards the past two games combined, and it's not like those are all coming late in the game when the Packers are up like three scores and you know, they're just like, ah, just run it, like kill the clock for us, thank you very much. Those rush yards are coming within the flow of the game. You know, Isaiah Pacheco was gashing us for 6 yards a carry. And then, yeah, I know they stiffened up when they got in the red zone, but, you know, it would be nice to get some stops in the middle of the field to get some punts and get your offense back on the field quicker, kind of thing.
Did they activate Waller? Because according to their homepage, he's still on the injured reserve.
I haven't seen an update on that.
I know they have Tyrod Taylor, who is designated to return. So it's all possible he could be quarterbacking Monday night. But according to the website, Waller is still on injured reserve, so we wouldn't even have to deal with him.
They are expecting him to practice this week, it looks like.
Okay, well, if he's just now starting to practice,
Because he's been out since October with a bad hamstring, so maybe not. But yeah, we're just identifying guys who could be problems, and if Waller does play, that's a problem. You know, like I said, maybe he's not, but it's another guy that's going to add, for all intents and purposes, fear into Barry's play calling equation. So, like I said, the way you lose this game is you let Saquon get going. So, it would be nice if you can get one or both of Stokes and Jair back this game, because this would be a good one to get them into if you can, kind of thing, because this isn't the greatest receiver core kind of thing. So
the Jair thing is really confusing because he was practicing all week last week and they still didn't play him.
The good thing is it's the shoulder. And so I'm thinking he dislocated it or something. And it's a whole matter of like, with shoulder dislocations, you reach this tipping point of where, like, from what it's been described to me, including by my brother, who is a doctor. But so you're trying to hit this threshold point where when you hit this certain re-strengthening threshold, the likelihood of re-dislocating it drops significantly. But if you go before that, if you dislocate it again, you set yourself back to zero kind of thing and stuff. So I don't know exactly what the injury was, or if it's an AC joint issue that could lead to a dislocation. So I
would think if it was an AC joint thing, he wouldn't be practicing.
Yeah, exactly. So I do. That's why I think it's a dislocation kind of thing. But honestly, we've gotten good reps from Carrington Valentine and Corey Valentine.
We definitely have, but think about what the defense would be if we had our all-pro cornerback out there.
Exactly.
And we can move Carrington, not Carrington, Corey to maybe the more the nickel type, or use him as like the as like a fourth C, you know, a dime type or whatever.
Yeah,
I mean, there's ways to get these guys out on the field, or if you're wanting to give Jair, you know, just put him on a snap count. But I the big thing is when Stokes comes back, don't put him on fucking special teams, because that's what did it the last time. So, yeah, it just, like I said, the thing with Jair has just been really confusing, that if he's not able to play, how is he fully participating in practice? Because even though you're not really hitting in practice, you're still putting the same type of stress as you would in a game on that shoulder.
It's got to be some kind of, like I said, that's where I'm thinking it's like a strength and like a testing strength kind of thing and stuff. So time will tell. Like, I know this is going to sound bad, but the team didn't think it was going anywhere the last couple weeks. And you can say what you want about that, but they need Jair to be on the next great Packers team. And, you know, if they make the playoffs, obviously you want him out there, but you don't want this to be, you remember like when Rashawn got drafted, it was like, oh my God, his shoulder is a problem. His shoulder's a problem. It's going to be a problem for his whole career kind of thing. And his shoulder has never really popped up on the injury report, I think, except for early in his rookie season kind of thing. So I think they are trying to manage around that, get, you know, make sure that it doesn't become one of those repetitive issues. That's just my take on it. But I know a lot of people are questioning. Yeah.
It is
a confusing one where it's like, okay, like, and then it doesn't help Jair that Schneidman last week before the Lions game, they was like, oh yeah, he's about to play. And then he's expected to play today, whether it was the Lions game or the Chargers game, one of those, Schneidman was like, oh yeah, they're expecting him to play today. And then he's like, eh, he's inactive. And it's like, oh, okay.
I think Stokes could probably have a good shot of coming in just to start getting him some snaps. But I mean, I'm 50-50 on him, just because one, he's been out for so long that you just want to get him, you know, conditioned. So I, you know, as much as I'd like to see him come out for this game, I could also be all right saying, all right, just let's keep giving him practice reps so we can start getting conditioned a little bit more.
Yep. So time will tell. And then the big one that came out on the offensive side is that Evan Neal, the Giants right tackle, has not practiced. So he didn't practice before their bye. He missed their week 11 game against the Patriots. And it sounds like from their unofficial practice, because they don't have to release a report since they're coming off the bye, but he, and going to the defensive side, Dexter Lawrence, both did not practice earlier this week. So those will be big ones on both sides of the ball. You know, you've seen Rashawn and Preston and Lucas and Inogbare all have, you know, their games have ticked up the last couple weeks. So it'd be kind of big to see another team who's got question marks at offensive tackle. And then on the defensive side, Dexter Lawrence is probably their most important defensive player. But that's not saying much when this is the 28th ranked defense in terms of yards allowed per game. Giants are leaking 364 yards per game, 24 points per game. That's 26th. And basically, you can kind of get it how you want it on them. They're only ranked 20th against the pass, but that's because I think teams are finding a lot of success against them on the ground. And that's compounded if Dexter Lawrence is limited or out with that hamstring issue. Like I said, so Lawrence was doubtful their week 11 game against the Patriots and still was missing some practices coming out of the bye. So that's a big one to keep an eye on. That would be pretty, joking aside, massive for the Packers, because I know that as much as they haven't run the ball well this season, LaFleur would like to get the ground game going. And we saw it against, you know, a Chiefs defense that's really good, but is a little soft on the interior. So if Lawrence is limited or not able to play this week, that would be pretty big for the Packers. But if Lawrence is down or limited, the guy to keep an eye on is Kayvon Thibodeau, who, you know, I feel like he's more hype than reality in terms of a player, but he does have 11 sacks on the season. The thing is, though, the Giants only have 21 as a team, so he has over half of their sack production. And Deontay Banks is a cornerback, a rookie cornerback who has emerged this season and is playing. I think he's up there on some defensive rookie of the year charts. They're expecting him to make one of the all rookie teams. And like we kind of mentioned Wink Martindale's name earlier. He's another guy kind of from the same philosophy of Spagnuolo, who he's going to blitz. And unlike the Chiefs, who have better second level, third level players, the Giants don't really have that. So I expect Martindale to blitz a lot. I mean, we remember how it was last year when we played him in London, and then when we played the Ravens in 2021, when Martindale was still their defensive coordinator. So expect lots of pressure. Another good test for Love this week. But like you said earlier, Joe, you just hope to see the offense move the ball against this Giants defense going into this game.
Yeah, I mean, another guy to kind of keep an eye out for is one of their safeties, Xavier McKinney. You know, it's a guy that a lot of Packer fans were hoping that maybe we could make a move for him at the trade deadline. I would worry more about him with the deep stuff because he is kind of a ball hawk type safety. So, you know, if Jordan gets rushed and he just lets one fly, you know, I would worry that maybe McKinney would be in the vicinity just because of how he plays. But again, I'm not, as much as I would love to say that I'm not worried about this game, I am kind of worried about this game because, again, you know, they play down to their competition. But, you know, hopefully Jordan keeps his streak going and, you know, this offense can really get rolling. I think they said that Christian Watson's was a hamstring, but they didn't figure it was too serious.
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a good sign. I mean, this could be in a way, this could be a game that they set him out of and just roll with what they've got. Here's something that I wanted to ask, and I haven't asked it of anybody yet, but it just came to my mind because I was listening to Lombardi's Bar earlier and they had Matt Schneidman on there, and he kind of brought up the name, but Samari Toure, is he just basically done now? Because Heath has kind of jumped him in the depth chart. You really don't see anything out of him. He's not even getting reps at, like, you know, punt or kick return anymore like he had been. So is he just like taking up a roster spot in case of?
Pretty much at this point, I think, for all intents and purposes, I think this is just a sign that DuBose, like, just for instance, DuBose isn't quite ready kind of thing to just take a roster spot. So I think DuBose, Melton, whichever one of the young guys that they really like who they've kept around. I know Melton is like the same, you know, he's been on the roster the same amount as Toure. And obviously DuBose was their seventh round pick this year. But yeah, I think he's, you know, that's the thing. You know, a lot of people have been hyping up Toure all off season and stuff. But the big thing with him is that he's not any different or better than what he was last year. And that's, you know, he's a guy that he's a smart player. He knows how to find open spots between zone coverages, but he doesn't make plays when it's when he's in good man coverage. He can't make contested catches. And yeah, like you pointed out, he's not a special teams contributor. So Heath has just completely passed him up on the depth chart. And like I said, I think it's just a matter of you're getting to the point in the season where, you know, like, let's say Melton or DuBose starts to, you know, catch up and they want to get a look at one of those guys. Let's say like Watson's out, right? And you activate Melton this week to be a secondary, like, deep threat jet guy so that, you know, you're not, especially if Reed is still going to be kind of limited this week because of the chest injury. So let's say that Melton's up this week. It's probably up over DuBose at this point. And then, you know, you're inactivating Watson and stuff. So it's one of those where I don't think they're going to like just elevate one of DuBose or Melton right away, because I think they're holding Toure's spot is now eyeballed as a, like, hey, like if we have an injury somewhere else or someone else gets cut and we can waiver claim or something, that's the roster spot we're going to use. Like when you're a healthy scratch for like 3 or 4 weeks in a row, you know, you're on the short end of the stick at that point.
Well, how many times has Melton been called up? Because it's been at least twice.
So last week he was signed to the roster. So if he has a call, I can't remember if he got elevated before, but if he does, it's only been once, because the last time he was on game day, I think on Thanksgiving, they had signed him to the active roster. So that one doesn't count against his three. So he's either got all three or he's got two left.
Well, no, I know he's been at least one time. I thought it was two times before this signed to active. So I'd have to go back and look, but I know it's at least been once.
Yeah.
I'm trying to see how many games he's played in. Well, now this says just once, but I know he was called up one other time because they didn't use him at all. And he was just on the call up.
Yeah, so.
But I'd have to go back and look. But I just was curious because they're going to have to keep an eye on that too. I knew it. You kind of knew it. A lot of other people knew it. But there was that side of people that were too excited about Grant DuBose that they were like, oh, well, he's going to contribute. Guys, he came from Charlotte. It's going to take him a bit to get used to the NFL, so I don't expect him to contribute at all until maybe next year.
That's the thing. And so just looking at the roster counts and kind of knowing what they like to do, but so with Toure on the roster, they're still at six wide receivers. So yeah. You get to the point where, let's say, Musgrave can come back. Toure might be the cut to get Musgrave back on the active roster. Like, that's one of those kind of
DeGuara moves. Could be too, because I have a feeling.
Could be too. But I think he's getting cut for your cousin. So,
hey, I want to put this out there. I haven't been able to find it. But if anybody knows how to get a hold of Henry Pearson, let me know, because I would love to get him on the show. I don't care if he's still with the Packers when it happens or not. It would be great to get him on here. So, listeners, if you got a connection, let me know.
Yep. So it's gonna be. But yep, like you said, that's the nagging question that I have, and like I said, that's why I'm excited to see what this team is going to do, because for the first time since that Falcons game, or I guess you don't think of it that way because they blew them, but the games against the Raiders and Broncos, it's interesting because they played all these bad teams on the road. So it's like doubly a learning, because like you said, one, they played down to their competition. And two, you're doing that on the road. So kind of two birds they got to knock out this week. But I am excited to see what they're going to do, because, yes, as much as they played down to competition, that was while they were still having a lot of their behind the scenes and, their infrastructure issues, you know, with guys not knowing all the plays, guys running the wrong routes, things like that. So, I want to just see how different it looks now that this offense is clicking a lot better. Guys know where they're supposed to be, and that the confidence level across the board is just that much higher right now. So that's my thing to look forward to. But anything else you got on the Giants, or just kind of going into what we're expecting to see going into the game?
Not really. I'll be honest. I haven't really paid attention much to the Giants this year. I know the hot thing right now is Tommy DeVito, and what's he doing, the gabagool, thing after touchdowns or whatever. And he's not looked horrible. I think when I looked up his stats, it listed he had a QB rating of like 92.5 or something like that. And he's thrown 9 touchdowns with only 3 interceptions. So, you know, for what he is, he's not been bad. And for what the team is, he's not been bad. And let's face it, the Packers have had a horrible history with backup quarterbacks the last few years. My kind of hope is that Tyrod gets out there and plays, because I have a feeling they'd be able to play better against Tyrod than they would DeVito right now. And that's another reason why I kind of hope one of, if not both, Jair and Stokes are back, because then they could play their whatever you call it, the shell coverage that you like to call it more, because then they have their better players out there. And it's not a slight against Corey or Carrington. I love what they're both doing. Carrington's potential is skyrocketing with each and every week. Corey, I think he's pretty much reached his ceiling, but you know, that's pretty good. So, you know, what they're getting out of him right now. But when you look at it, would you rather have Jair or Corey? Would you rather have Stokes or Carrington?
And
that's the big thing. So, but I would feel a lot better if we had those options on the table. You know, okay, we're only going to give Jair and Eric a couple, you know, on a pitch count. That's fine, because we got Corey and Carrington. Works for me.
And the sooner you get those, especially Jair, like you said, Stokes, it's hard to tell because he hasn't played in over a year at this point. But with this team in position to make the playoffs, you want your best players out there. And you don't want Jair going out there cold turkey kind of thing when he hasn't played for over a month and a half at that point. So he needs a ramp up period too. And speaking of those two, our yes no's for the week. Yes or no on Jair Alexander playing for this week?
Yes. I really do. I think, and like I said, it's, and I know you were, we've talked about it already and there's not much more to say, but it's just been really weird that he's been fully practicing, but not, you know, playing. So I think this is the week to bring him back. Like you said earlier, this is the type of game you bring him back for.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, I think so too. It's especially before you get into kind of the heavier parts, not heavier, but just teams with better receiving options that aren't necessarily good either. But yeah, I would think that you would see him back this week. Eric Stokes. Yes or no?
Like I said earlier, I'm kind of 50-50 on it, but I'm going to go ahead and say no, just because I think that just to give him a little bit more time. Obviously, we don't know what the injury report looks like at the moment. If it said he was full participant, then I'd be like, okay, yeah, for sure, he's going to go. But I think this gives him a little bit more time to get into, not that he's not in shape, but get him a little bit more condition since he's missed so much time this year.
Yeah, completely agree. I'm going to err on the side of that he will be activated and will be on the game day roster. He was limited all last week, and I think he was doubtful out of precaution. So I think we'll see him back on the field this week for the Packers. Aaron Jones.
I'm going to say no. I know they're saying it's a slight meniscus, and that's usually a 2 to 4 week type thing. And this is what, week
3? This is going to be week 3.
Yeah. So I could see a no and just say, all right, we'll come back the next game.
Yeah. This is exactly the kind of one that they're going to be cautious with. And it's so weird to talk about this in contrasting views, but where I said Jair needs the reps, they want Jones as fresh as possible if they're rolling into the playoffs. So yeah, it's that weird dichotomy between the two positions. But yeah, I think that they're if they're going to make the playoffs, they want as healthy of a Jones as they want. And that's going to curtail over into the next guy in Christian Watson, who I'll just lead off. I think he's sitting this week. I just think that there's no point in putting him out there this week.
I think unless something changes, I think with what they said with the it was a hamstring, but the way he was moving around, I'm thinking it's more cramps, and it just, because the way he pulled up, it just seemed like, you know, when you get one of them Charlie horses in your calf and you just, oh, whatever. But I'm going to say no, just because, you know, with all the other guys on the roster, he can take a break.
And with how much trouble he had coming back from it to start the season too. Like, right. Just don't play with fire at that point. That's kind of my thinking on that. And so that's it for our yes, no's this week. And let's tail it into your over unders this week. What do you got for us this week, Joe?
Well, I'm not going to do yardage because that, I don't know what the weather's going to be like for them on Monday night, but we'll go with touchdowns. So 2.5 TDs for Jordan Love. And so far, what is it? He's gone the last 3 weeks throwing at least 3 of them.
Yep. So, excuse me. Yep. 3 weeks in a row with 3 passing touchdowns. I am going to say, yes, he is going to have, and you didn't say passing touchdowns, so I think he'll have 3 total.
Well, he'll have over 3. Under 2.5. So
yes,
so
I'll go over. I'll go over. Okay. Yeah.
I'll take the over on it too. And I think the caveat is going to be, like I said last week, where I think they're going to hit a couple of them little pop passes, maybe one to Reed, and, you know, maybe they get Wicks involved in the little end around type stuff, and that'll kind of bump up his stats a little bit. So I'll go the over with it too. My next one is 2.5 turnovers for the defense.
I'm going to say under. As much as they're doing stuff, I think it's still a little more, I don't want to say smoke and mirrors, but it's more guys making plays on their own than it is like the defensive structure is creating them.
Well, so now the way that I worded it, it's just turnovers. So that could be fumbles, that could be interceptions, that could be whatever. So I'm going to go over, because I think they're going to get enough pressure on DeVito that it, whether it's like strip sacks or, you know, interceptions or whatever, or even if it's like a bobbled snap or whatever because he's rattled, I just think that with the pressure that they can get, that it'll be over. And my last one, I just threw this out there because I really had a hard time thinking of what the over-under should be this week. 1.5 TDs for Jaden Reed.
I'm going to go under. I think that he's going to play, but I think they're trying to limit his reps and touches because they're trying to have him out there, but also not overuse him kind of thing. So I am thinking under this week.
Well, since I said no on Watson, they're going to look to somebody else. And, you know, obviously there's Dobbs, there's Wicks, there's Heath, there's all these other guys that is possible. But I think in just that short game or even the long game, if Watts isn't there, Watson isn't there, they're going to need somebody to go deep, and the next logical choice is Jaden Reed. And I think they're at least going to hit one deep on with him, and then he's going to get, like I said, one of them pop passes. So that gives him 2. So that's an easy over for 1.5.
I hope somebody does, because that means that we're scoring a bunch of points. But Joe, anything else on the Giants this week, or just any other lingering thoughts for us as we go into this one, as we get try to climb over 500?
I just wish it wasn't Monday night. I don't know. For some reason, I don't like these late night games. I have to wake up early the next morning or anything. I don't know. For some reason, I don't like the late night games. I like the noon or the late afternoon games. So, but other than that, the one thing I do want to say is now for the website, and Michael pitch it later in the outro, but you can sign up on the website and you'll get an email notification anytime that a new article gets dropped. So if you sign up and next time an article drops, you'll get an email notification and you can check out the new postings.
Sounds good. Yep. Like Joe said, please follow the website, ohanapackers.org. That's going to wrap it up for today, but we're going to watch the Packers hopefully go to 7-6 and continue to bolster their playoff projection. But that's Iowa Joe. I'm Mike Kawano. Please give us a follow on our Twitter accounts at Kawano Mike and at Iowa_Joe86. Follow the pod at Ohana_Packers. Like I said, website ohanapackers.org. As Joe mentioned, please sign up for the subscribe to the website to get updates when we post blog posts. Also, you can access the streams of every podcast episode on there. We're trying to get more guests on as the season goes, and especially as we get into the off season. But please give us a follow and a like on any of your favorite podcasting apps. Please give us any positive or negative feedback comments. We do appreciate all of those. As we said, this is a big one for the Packers. They've come off as David defeating Goliath the last 2 weeks. Now it's time for them to put the hammer down on a team that they should beat pretty easily. So big growth moment for the Packers. That's going to do it for this week. We want to just say go Pack go and aloha.